Hebrews 10 and look in verse 22. The Bible said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Boy, ain't that a wonderful thing right there? That the Lord is faithful. I mean, he's faithful whether I'm faithful or whether you're faithful. He's always faithful and faithful to his children. Look in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you again for this wonderful day that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for the choir singing and that tonight. I pray that those songs lifted up your name and praised you tonight. And Lord, that just don't want to be something that we say out loud, but we truly mean that from our heart tonight, that those songs praised and honored you. And Lord, as we get ready to preach now, we're certainly going to need your help. And we're going to need a touch from you, for there's nothing that we can do in ourselves and on our own except follow you tonight. Lord, we ask that if there's one here that's lost, that they'd get saved. And Lord, before it's too late, before you come back, and Lord, I pray that you would just deal with their heart about eternity and about the salvation plan that you've made through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd deal with hearts. There may be somebody here tonight that needs strength and needs encouragement, and I pray it be found in you tonight. We'll take in it. We love you. Thank you for Calvary, for what you've done for us. Save that sinner that's nearest. Tell all these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, now I'm going to preach primarily out of verse 25, but as I was looking at this scripture the other night, I was going over it, and it began to jump out at me that three times he said, let us. If you look in verse 22, and by the way, when it says let us, that is something that is in our control. That word let means that it is on our side of the cord, if you'd say that. Verse 22, he said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I'm glad that we can do that. I'm glad that we can draw near to God, that we can draw nigh to him with that full assurance of faith in him. Tonight, if you don't have full assurance, you need to come and find out that you're saved tonight if you've trusted him. If you've not trusted him, then I encourage you to come and get saved tonight, and you can have full assurance in Christ Jesus the Lord tonight. Amen. By believing his word. But then he said in verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Listen, if you've trusted him tonight, then you should have a profession of trusting him. But he said, let us hold that thing fast, our profession of faith without wavering. And he tells us how that we can do that, for he is faithful that promised. Listen, it's just not that we're holding on to something that is a hope-so, but it is something that we're holding on to that is a no-so tonight, amen? That when you come to Christ, if you've come to him and trusted him to be your Savior, then by faith in him and his faithfulness to you, he will keep you tonight. I'm glad tonight that I'm not depending on me to keep me tonight. I'm not trying to talk you in or out of salvation. I'm just saying tonight that if you're saved, that friend, that we can hold on to fast, hold fast on our profession of faith tonight, amen, because of him, not because of us tonight. But then in verse 24, he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So he says, not only let us draw near to God with a true heart, let us hold fast the profession of faith, but then he said, let us consider one another. I think that we are encouraged to do those first two things. We like those first two things, and I hope that we like this last thing in verse 24 when he said, let us consider one another. You know, when we consider something, we think about it, don't we? We look at it and we dwell upon it. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. So not unto meanness and not unto ugliness, if you'd let me say that tonight. But friend, we need in that to love one another, and that in Christ Jesus. He said in Romans chapter 12 to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I'm going to tell you, I was listening to Brother Ralph the other day preach on being courteous. Part of the message that he come to for just a few minutes was being courteous and all those things. And being talking about brotherly love and all those things. And he was talking about being courteous to brethren and those things. And he was talking about how that he had four brothers. Now, I've never had a brother. Now, I've got a feller by the name of Paul Henry. Some of y'all know him. Closest thing I've ever had to a brother. And now me and him could scrap and carry on and fight one with another and about have over the years. I ain't carried on. But you start letting somebody mess with the other one and we'll be there to fight with you. But I love him just like I would love a brother. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Listen, now, me and him has not always got along, but that's not going to change how I feel about things. You know, there's times that me and you in this church are probably not going to get along, but it's not going to change how I feel about you. You're still my brother in Christ. You're still my sister in Christ. We're family in Christ. And you know what families do? They figure out how to work it out. Amen. That's what families do. And so tonight he told us to consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. We should provoke one another to love. Drive each other to love one another. And then he said to provoke to good works, you know. And that to do what God would have us to do for him. That ain't what I want to preach on tonight. I just thought those were good and extra tonight. I want you to learn verse 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as he is talking about gathering together, I really believe this verse is talking about gathering together as the church. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then he puts a statement on the end of that as the manner of some is. Even in the time of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, he said there was some and that had already forsook the assembling of themselves together. Let me say tonight that I love to go to church. Amen. When I got saved, that changed everything in my life. Used to, my mom and dad would have to drag me to church and make me want to go to church. But I'm telling you, when I got saved at 14 years old, something changed in my heart. I not only fell in love with church, I fell in love with the preacher. Everything changed because of salvation. And I want to go to church. Have I always been right? No, I've not always been right, but I've always been faithful. And that to church, Brother Fred Wilson says, God bless his faithfulness. Amen. But I want you to look right here tonight as he's talking about gathering for church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I want to preach having a thought on why we do what we do when we come to church. Yeah, I probably won't be able to finish all this message tonight simply because I'm just long-winded and I won't be able to finish it. But do you ever ask yourself the question why we do what we do when we come? Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Do you realize how, especially on Sunday morning, service is busted up into three main themes, right? We have Sunday school, we have singing, and we have preaching. You ever ask yourself why service is that way? He said, well, most of it's traditional, and I'm sure that it is. But listen, they've been having Sunday school for over 100 years now, and they're teaching the Word of God. I believe that you would find if you read the history, especially of the mountain churches where the circuit rider preacher went, you would find that they may not have had preaching every Sunday, but they had Sunday school every Sunday morning. It was important and that to the church and that to maintain teaching and that of the Word of God. Number one tonight, I've already got into it, so let's just get here tonight. Let's deal with this. Why do we do what we do when we come? Number one, first of all, why do we teach? Why do we have Sunday school? I can remember as a kid, sometimes Sunday school would seem very boring and very uninteresting. It really would. I'll just be honest with you. You got a kid sitting in there that ain't saved. He ain't concerned about the Bible until God speaks to his heart. But I'm telling you something, those things that I was taught in Sunday school, I still ring true in my mind today and in my heart. But teaching. The word teach means to instruct or to inform. It means to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was once before ignorant of. You know, to teach means that you're going to learn something, hopefully. Amen. Use this term. I use it now just for the fun of it. I'm going to learn him something or learn her something. You know, that's really in that what it's saying. If I do my teaching right and the Lord helps us, then you should learn something from the Word of God. If these Sunday school teachers in that pray and seek God and study, you'll find that you should learn something from the Word of God if you come in here with a heart to do that. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What was the first thing the Bible said he done? He taught in their synagogues. Taught. Me and you need to be taught and that the Word of God. I believe tonight if we depend upon the Lord and seek God tonight that we could learn from the Word of God. Can I tell you tonight that this book should be very important to you tonight? Amen. This book should be the most important thing in your life, and that in serving God is what does His Bible have to say? How are you going to learn it tonight? You must and that be taught. So David said in Psalms chapter 86, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. He said, Lord, I want you to unite my heart with your truth and with your way, and I'll fear your name tonight. But we got to be taught. You got to be taught tonight. Listen, teaching. John chapter 14, he said, Jesus did, but with a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what he told his disciples. You know, there's times I believe that Brother Jeremiah and Brother Colwell, they can tell you we've got up here behind this pulpit and things just, God began to just bring things back to our memory that we've studied. It does me that way sometimes. And sometimes I'm beginning to wonder about this. But listen, he just brings the remembrance some things. And he says, I'll do that. That's by the Holy Spirit and that of God. Let me say tonight that, and I'm in introduction, by the way. Listen, to understand and that the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish of him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Without the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, listen, you cannot learn from the Word of God. We've seen that last Sunday night. But when the Holy Spirit is on the inside, He can begin to open up the Word of God to you. So number one tonight, in teaching, what are we to teach? What are Sunday school teachers to teach? What am I to teach as the pastor of this church? You know, he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, these things command and teach. I'm gonna ask the question tonight. How many of you have ever sat in a Sunday school? And I'm not saying here. I hope not here. That was more about politics and more about of what's going on in the world than what the book had to say. In the years that I traveled and preached before we come here, and there was times that me and my wife, they would call me to come and preach on Sunday morning, and we would go for Sunday school, and sometimes Sunday school would be good, and sometimes it would not be good. Because they would drift in that out of this book right here. So what are we to teach tonight? First of all, I believe that as we look in the Scripture, we find that we're to teach in that the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about in Colossians chapter 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad He's on the inside. Need to teach how He gets on the inside. I'm glad I had Sunday school teachers that taught me how Christ got on the inside, or how He'll get on the inside of me. You come to Him. But we look in the next verse, And he said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm not only preaching, but I'm teaching those that I come in contact. You know, there is a difference between preaching and teaching, by the way. There is. Preaching is taking that thought that we've studied, but teaching is conveying that which one does not already know that they may learn, you see. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples, now talking about Christ, were to teach Christ, teach the Lord Jesus Christ. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So when those in the temple and that called the disciples in because they had been teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus, one thing they said is, do not do this. Next chapter later, in Acts chapter 5, they brought them up again and said, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? Did we not tell you not to teach what you're teaching tonight? He said, and behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You ought to teach. Listen to me tonight, Sunday school teachers, moms and dads, preachers. Let me say this. I remember when I first come down here. I hope that I'm a better teacher now than... Well, I hope I'm a better preacher, but I hope I'm a better teacher. Like I say, there is a difference. Some say it's just a matter of volume, but it's really not. But I remember when I first came down here and was going to teach a book, that excited me, and that to be able to teach because that made me dig. Made me dig. So that I could teach you all something, hopefully. But the first thing that you have to teach these little ones, and we say little ones because we hopefully hope that everybody that's got age is saved, but I will say little ones tonight, is what Christ done. Teach them John 3:16. First verse that I can ever remember memorizing was John 3:16. That for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I was unsaved when I learned that verse, but that got taught to me. Are you following me tonight? All right, stay with me. I hope I'm making sense tonight. The first thing that must be taught is the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be taught that he is our way of salvation. We need to teach in that about Calvary. Teach about what he done for our sins at Calvary. How that he went willingly and freely and became our sacrifice so that we might be saved. Now sometimes some of you Sunday school teachers that's got these little ones, you've got to get a little inventive in how to convey that message to little people. They don't think like we do sometimes. They don't know the things that we do. So you have to convey that to be able to teach that unto them. We use Christ as our example. Not only is he the one that went for us to Calvary, but Christ, as we're teaching about Christ, he is our pattern or example that we should live after. Not only did he die for my sins, but he left me a pattern. The Bible said in the latter part of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So as we look at Christ, as we go back and we look and we see the love that he had for people, we see the compassion that he had for people. You know, the Bible tells us Paul does at one point to have compassion on people, don't he? He does. Have compassion. How many of us have compassion today? Hey, do you know if Christ Jesus the Lord had not had compassion, you'd have never got saved? He would have never left glory if he'd have never had compassion. You know what that means, don't you? Compassion means, listen, it means to basically just to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And what would you want somebody else to do for you if you were in their shoes? I'm glad that Christ Jesus the Lord looked down from glory and He seen folk that were lost and had compassion on us and said, boy, if I was like them, I'd want somebody to come and die for me so that I could get saved. But He's our pattern and our example. We get so busy sometimes, like the Apostle Paul said over there, that we compare ourselves among ourselves, that we're not wise. We get to comparing ourselves with each other. And I'm telling you, I don't know about these other preachers, but sometimes I'm guilty of trying to compare myself of what some other pastor's doing in another church or what some other preacher's doing. And I begin to compare myself with him and look at him or some other Christian when I ought to be comparing myself and that to the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I shape up? Let me ask you tonight, church. How do you shape up against Christ being our pattern tonight? He loved folk that were unlovable. Amen? Went to folk that were unlovable. Cared for folk that were unlovable. And the ones that He dealt the hardest with was the religious crowd that should have known better. Christ is our pattern or our example. So as we teach, we ought to teach Christ Jesus. We teach the right doctrine tonight. Doctrine out of Scripture, out of the Bible. Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 27, he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul dealt with everything that needed to be dealt with. If it was the home, he dealt with it. You know, in this church, the home ought to be taught on. Amen. I mean, the youngins ought to be taught how to treat their mother and their father, what the Scripture says about those things. Mom and dads ought to be taught and how to love one another and how to love their children and how to go work and to support his family tonight. Listen, all those things ought to be taught. Is that not found in Scripture tonight? Amen. Ought to be taught. Hey, listen, the right doctrine ought to be taught. Paul said, "I'm not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He didn't let up on anything simply because it might have been unpopular or not easy in that to deal with. He dealt with it. Amen. Sometimes teachers just have to do that. I have to get out of the mode of being a preacher sometimes to think like a teacher. They are different. God gives you the ability to teach. Amen. I believe that tonight. I believe that He can help you in that. Teach the Word of God. Acts chapter 15, He gives a difference of it. He says here that Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the Word of the Lord with many others also. So we take this whole book and we learn how to rightly divide it. As Scripture said over there, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you find what is, it's all for you, but it's not all to you. And so you find out what the Lord would have you to get out of this thing, and then you teach it. I remember my pastor told me one thing before I ever come down here to pastor. He said, "Son, when you cannot find what you need to preach," and we'll use the same for teaching here, "then you need to look at what you need." And he said, "If you look at what you need, chances are the people standing in front of you or sitting in front of you are going to need the same thing." And I thought that was a good piece of advice. When you cannot find how many, we got two preachers sitting in here. There are times you just can't find anything just about. When you've got a whole Bible in front of you, I can't find what to pray. Ain't that amazing? That you've got a whole Bible in here. But the Lord sometimes just wants us to trust Him. But let me move on tonight. I'm going to get bogged down if I ain't careful. He wants us to teach in that the right book with the right doctrine. King James Bible believers, we looked at that last week. He wants you in that to teach your children. Take your Bible tonight. Go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now he wants you to teach your children in the home. Listen to me, moms and dads. He wants you to teach your children at home, but I'm talking about Sunday school right now. I'm talking about what's being taught in this church. Let's look in verse 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. He said, "In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt," look at that word here, "teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, granted, Sunday school teachers has got kids for, we'll say, roughly 40, 45 minutes. I've got them for, well, I'll just be honest, probably about 50 minutes on Sunday morning. I was going to say about 30, but you all would have laughed right there. About 45 minutes on Sunday night, 40 minutes on Wednesday night. And if everybody's honest in their job and wants to do the best they can, then that child will get something from the Word of God. But it's just such a short period of time that we have. But you all have your children all the time. And he says, "Teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou settest down, or when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells deep which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Why was they teaching them this? Why were they teaching them what they needed to know? Because there was going to come a day when they were going to have the opportunity in that to forsake the Lord. I've got some friends of mine. Their oldest daughter is 18. And she starts college next week. But they moved her in today. And she's going to Johnson City at ETSU. 3 hours away at the best from home. Never been away from home. Never been away from mom and dad. But been raised right. Been taught right. Been given the Word of God all her life. And now is going to be the time that all that's going to be found out. You see what I'm saying? Now is going to be her opportunity to put to test what she's been taught. Amen? That's why it's important to teach your children now, because there's going to come a day on a Sunday afternoon when you're going to have to let your child go. And all you can lean upon is what you've taught them. You know why I stress so much in that teaching the Bible and stress so much of studying this thing and teaching it to these children? But there's a lot of reasons. One, I want to see them do good. I want your children, listen to me, moms and dads, I not only want you to do good, but I want your children to do good spiritually. I don't want to see them fail. I don't want to, you know, if we're not careful, we'll think in the back of our mind and we'll say, they're going to go off on their own and they're going to fail. That's possible. Kids do that. But my desire is that they've had the Word of God put into them, not only at home, but here at the church. And it'll give them something to survive on when they have to go out and deal with the world, that they've got some training in them and some teaching in them that'll last them. That's what I'm concerned. He said in Proverbs 22, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Go back to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We preached out of this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is exciting tonight, ain't it? Amen. We're shouting the house down. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Remember we talked about that feigned faith. That fake faith. That pretend faith. That hypocritical faith. But Paul said as he's talking to Timothy, that unfeigned faith. That real faith. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Listen, I believe he's telling Timothy, remember what you've been taught. Remember what you've seen. Remember how the examples that's been set before. Hey, moms and dads, you know as well as I do, in Sunday school teachers and preachers and everybody sitting in here tonight, you do a lot more teaching by example than you do with words sometimes. So he said, I know about your unfeigned faith. He said, but it dwelled in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee. Also, he had seen something different in Timothy than everybody else. That he said, I believe it's in you too, Timothy. I'm going to make the same statement again tonight that I made this morning. And I'm not sure how much it sunk in on some of you, or if you understood what I was talking about. If we've got young'uns here from early in life, and they're raised up here and they go through our Sunday school classes, by the time they become young adults, and if God was to put them into ministry or not into ministry, they should not have to go to Bible school to learn anything. They should have been taught well enough in our Sunday school classes to know the Scripture. He said in Psalms 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So teaching. Not only do me and you need teaching. You know, I still need teaching. And as I was studying this message, I thought about there's times that when I would sit in Sunday school, Brother Jeff would come across something that I'd scratch my head on, and I'd sit there and think, well, no, I ain't sure that that's exactly right. And I've learned sometimes just to keep my mouth shut because I don't know. It's took me a long time to figure that stuff out. There's just some stuff I don't know about. You know, used to, if I didn't know about it or not, I'd have an opinion on it. I mean, but it took me a little while to figure some things out. And you know, it makes you, if you don't know something, especially me, if I don't know something, it makes me want to go dig to find it out so that I'll know. But it's fun to say it, and I hate to use that word, but I really don't know any other word other than maybe interesting or something like that. But it's fun to me to learn what the Bible has to say. It is. It excites my soul when I learn something new from the Word of God. I'm not above being taught, and you ain't either. Amen. It does not matter how old we grow in age, it does not matter how mature that we become spiritually, there are none of us so mature that we have arrived yet. Still learning. Still learning. But then, we're asking what to teach. We teach Christ. I teach the right doctrine. And boy, I varied off down a rabbit hole there a time or two on that. We need to teach what the Scripture has to say, all of it. Paul told Timothy there in verse 13, he said, hold fast the form of sound words. He said, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ. He said, look, hold fast those form of sound words. Those things that were good and can be proven and used in your life. So you teach your children. We teach your children. I take it very seriously tonight. I'm not sure that everybody does, but I try my earnest and honest to take it serious tonight that moms and dads, would want to put their spiritual care, their spiritual growth in my care. I find it amazing that you would put your spiritual growth in my care sometimes. I do want to see you grow. Let me park right here for just a second. Talking about growing. I didn't really have this here, but let me talk about it for just a second. You know, everybody grows at a different rate. You know, kids grow at different rates. I've been short all my life. And some people have been tall all their life. And some people grow early, and they top out wherever they're going to be by the seventh grade. Some people even grow after high school. Ain't that right, Brother Jeff? Even grow after high school. And we grow at different rates. And what I'm coming to is we're all not on the same spiritual plane. You may have, listen to me, Sunday school teachers. You may have children or young adults or adults in your Sunday school class. They're sitting at all kinds of different places. You know how much that is as a struggle to teach sometimes? I mean, seriously, now think about that for just a second. Because sometimes you've got to figure out where somebody is so that you might be able to help them to get by where they're at. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all understand what I'm talking about now? I hope so. I hope I'm making sense tonight. But growth. You remember when Esau came to Jacob? They met out there in the field. And Esau comes to Jacob. And Esau, and after they make up, and you know, Jacob was coming along real lightly, and he had sent all these things out in front of him to give to his brother because, you know, he'd snookered his brother out of his birthright and snookered his brother out of his blessing and all these things. And he and Esau had said, next time I see him, I'm going to kill him. And so he was going real soft and sending all these gifts out to Esau ahead of time. And Esau finally met his brother and Jacob over there, and he said, what means all this? He said, come on, brother, let's go. They made up out there in the middle of the field, and Esau tells Jacob, said, come on, we got to go. And here's what Jacob told Esau. He said, if I drive the young, talking about his cattle and his sheep, he said, they'll surely die. Do you know it's the same in teaching? You can't drive people to get it. You got to lead them along in the way. A lot of times we just want people to get it, and we want them to get it, and we're trying to drive them into getting it, when if we would just lead them in the way, they would get it. And that's what Jacob told Esau. He said, if I drive them, they'll surely die. Not everybody gets things maybe as easy as I did or as easy as you did. Some things I'm still struggling to get. Let me move on. It's a good thing I didn't plan on preaching all this tonight. We still got two more parts of the service to go, talking about singing and preaching. Who can teach? Who ought to teach? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Those that are faithful and those that have been taught are the ones that ought to teach. Those that have matured and that in their Christian life are the ones that ought to teach. Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is. Is it Hebrews 5? Yeah, Hebrews 5. Now he is rebuking them over here, but I want you to, we're going to try to draw out an idea here. Hebrews 5 verse 12, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. In other words, he says, you should have already matured to the point where you could teach. He said, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'd want to find in a teacher, I'm not saying that you can't teach, listen to me, but I'd want to find in a teacher that somebody that has put this book to use and found out that it was right and has tried it. Somebody that could give me something all the time. It's like this. I'm glad that folk that get saved, and let's say somebody 17, 16, 17, 14, 15 gets saved, and they have a desire to want to do something in church. Have a desire and that want to teach. But you know what? They need to learn first. You cannot teach what you do not know. There has to be a growth period there, and that to be able to teach those things, to be settled in those things, to be assured of those things. And so the writer here says, look, you're in a time when you ought to be teachers, and I hope that's none of you tonight. You have need that one teach you again. You know, if you've got enough growth, if you've been in church any time at all, been saved for a period of time, then you should be able to begin to expound on the Word of God and be able to teach it. You know, the preacher ought to be able to teach. What did he say over in the book of 1 Timothy? He said, for the bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Boy, that kills women preachers, don't it? Hello, we are in a Baptist church, but we're in a Bible-believing church tonight. We're to shout the house down. He said, be vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and then he said, apt to teach. You know what that word apt means? It means fit or suitable or qualified to. I'm determined tonight that not every preacher is qualified to teach. They don't know the Scripture. God may have called them to preach, but I'm going to tell you, it takes learning and that to teach tonight. Teach. It's exciting, ain't it? Why do we teach? We teach so that folk can learn the right way. We come back to what Paul said down here. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Also, we teach so that folk can learn about Christ, that they can learn the right way to be saved, that they can learn how to live for Him and please Him. But we teach so that others might learn to teach also. Now I brag on all of you. I brag on my Sunday school teachers, brag on these preachers in here. And I'm saying that so you understand what I'm saying. Hunter, when you talked the other day over here, at one of our times that we had, I was so proud of what you done. He taught very well. Taught very well. I was excited. I was amazed. I don't know if that's the first time you'd taught or not, but it's the first time I'd ever heard you. He's shaking his head like this, yeah. I could tell that the boy studied. I could tell that he prayed. That excited me. You know why that excited me? Because I know there's going to come a day that he's going to teach Sunday school class. Why, you teach others who are faithful so that they can teach others also. If you want to look at it this way, I'm trying to work myself out of a job. We're trying to raise young men and young ladies up around here to be able to teach Sunday school. That ought to be your desire tonight, Sunday school teachers, is not only to teach them so that they'd know about Christ Jesus the Lord as their Savior. That's the most important thing any of them could ever have. I'm still going to go back to what Miss Barnes said. when she got Jacob in her house. I'm going to put all the Jesus in him while I can, while I got him. Can I encourage you Sunday school teachers, all the way from the littlest all the way up, Brother Jeff, to yours, to put Jesus in them as much as you can, because you don't know how long you're going to have them. But then we need to teach them right so that they'll know how to live right. But we teach them so that they'll learn to teach others also. The shame of it is there's some that don't have an old teaching. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the Bible talks about this. Now for a long season, Israel hath been out without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. Sometimes I plow shallow when it's time to plow shallow. But I would hate to think that I couldn't drop my plow in the ground and begin to plow deep when I needed to. Y'all following what I'm saying tonight? That I couldn't dig out the deep things of God that He might give. When I'm talking about deep things, I'm not necessarily talking about the second coming. Second coming's easy to understand. I'm talking about things about like grace and mercy. Look at grace and tell me how deep that thing will run in the book, friend. Teaching tonight. Why do we do what we do? We teach so that we can get them saved. We teach so that they can learn from the Word of God and learn how to live for Him and please Him. That they can have comfort and peace in their own life. We teach so they might be able to teach others as they grow in the Lord tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let me ask you tonight, where do you stand with Christ? Where do you stand with Christ? Is He your Savior tonight? Has He saved you? Blood bought you? Are you born again? Do you know what it means to have Him as your Savior? If you don't tonight, I want you to know that He loves you and came and died for you so that you could get saved. And all you have to do is believe that He done that and ask Him to save you, and He'll do it. But tonight, let me ask you, how are you on your maturity in Christ? I'm asking you to be honest, not with me, but with yourself and with God. Where's your maturity stand spiritually? You know, spiritual maturity not only and that wants us to live right for God and live right for Christ. Have the right motives, the right means, and the right actions. But you know, sometimes that maturity causes us to forgive even when we don't want to forgive. It causes us to look over faults even when we don't think folk should be worthy to be looked over because of what we know what Christ would have out of our life. We look over it. How's your maturity in Him tonight? How about teaching your children? How about teaching your Sunday school classes? Things that ought to be so important. As I teach the young adult Sunday school class, I found for a period of time that getting everything else ready through the week and getting ready for Sundays and Wednesdays, I found that it was beginning to take a back seat. And one day the Lord just kind of opened my eyes and just kind of showed me that thing's important. You better quit letting it take a back seat. Training children, whether they're yours or somebody else's, is a great responsibility. Teaching a Sunday school class is a great responsibility. Living as an example of Christ in your life is a great responsibility. If you need to come and pray tonight, I ask you to come.